In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." Let us join together in prayer. Eternal God, we are listening for your gracious word made flesh for us in Jesus Christ. May it also take on flesh in us as we respond faithfully by living out your holy calling. We ask this all in the name of the Christ child. Amen. Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner, Scrooge himself. Old Marley was dead as a doornail. I expect that you know those words, the opening sentences of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It is one of those beloved Christmas stories that we've been talking about this season. It has been read and adapted and screenwritten and set to music thousands and thousands of times since Dickens first published it in 1843. My dad's father, William Alfred Anderson, was a civil servant in Madison, Wisconsin. He rode the train into the city to work every day, and he always carried a copy of one of Dickens's books to read on the commute. He owned the entire Dickens library. My mom had them rebound for my dad one year for Christmas, and they belong to me now. My grandfather died in 1953 before my parents ever met. But every single volume has W.A. Anderson written on the first page in fountain pen. Other than a photograph from his wedding day that hangs in my stairwell, these books are the only thing I have from my grandfather. You know the story of A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge, the miserly owner of a counting house, or what we might refer to today as a bookkeeping service, is visited on Christmas Eve by the ghost of his former partner, Jacob Marley, and then the ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas yet to come. As the story opens, he is as unlikable a character as you can imagine. Dickens writes, "Oh, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. Hard and sharp as flint, secret and self-contained and solitary as an oyster. Nobody ever stopped him in the street to say, with gladsome looks, 'Mr. my dear Scrooge, how are you?' No beggars implored him to bestow a trifle. No children asked what it was o'clock. But what did Scrooge care? It was the very thing he liked." What follows is a story of transformation and an opportunity for a new start, even for a hardened soul like Ebenezer Scrooge. Tonight we hear another story of transformation, or better said, the story that transforms everything. A young woman and her new husband make the 90-mile journey from Nazareth back to his ancestral home because the government has decided that everyone should be registered and taxed. As if that were not enough, she is 9 months pregnant with a child of dubious parentage. They arrive to find the tiny village of Bethlehem teeming with other visitors who have made similar journeys for the same reason. Joseph, the husband, is desperate to find lodging for his wife because her contractions have already begun. But the situation is clear. There is no room in the inn. Finally, one gracious innkeeper sees their predicament and offers them shelter in a stable, which is messy and stinks to high heaven, but it's better than giving birth on the street. A manger, a food trough, is cleared out and lined with fresh straw to provide a bed for the baby. Someone brings soup from the kitchen for weary travelers. Some grandmother staying at the inn acts as midwife to assist Mary with the delivery, while another teaches first-time parents how to swaddle a newborn. Any of those characters could have channeled their inner Ebenezer Scrooge and refused to lend a hand. In a crowded city with not enough room and likely not enough resources, I'll bet there was plenty of Scrooge-like behavior to be found. Look out for yourself and your own. Don't get tangled up in someone else's problems. She got herself into this situation. She can get herself out. But this is no ordinary night and no ordinary baby. Mary knows that. Joseph knows it, despite his initial skepticism. If our beloved Christmas hymns are to be believed, even the animals know it. A heavenly host of angels knows it for sure, and they direct shepherds in the fields to come and visit the child, the promised Messiah. It is the story that changes everything. A story of God giving up the safety of heaven to come to earth as a helpless infant who needs to be fed and changed and held and nurtured. God's love calling out for our own. God summoning us to change our ways, to look beyond ourselves and our needs, and by so doing, to bear God's love into this needy world. That's exactly what Ebenezer Scrooge learns during his Christmas Eve visitation, as the ghosts of Christmas show him what his life might have been and what it will be. He awakens a changed man. Listen to how Dickens describes him. "I don't know what to do," cried Scrooge, laughing and crying in the same breath and making a perfect fool of himself. "I am as light as a feather. I am as happy as an angel. I am as merry as a schoolboy. I am as giddy as a drunken man. A Merry Christmas to everybody. A Happy New Year to all the world." He had frisked into the sitting room and was now standing there, perfectly winded. "There's the door by which the ghost of Jacob Marley entered. There's the corner where the ghost of Christmas Present sat. There's the window where I saw the wandering spirits. It's all right. It's all true. It all happened. Ha, ha, ha." Really, for a man who had been out of practice for many years, Dickens says, it was a splendid laugh. A most illustrious laugh, the father of a long, long line of brilliant laughs. The laughter is genuine because the story, like the story of a child born in Bethlehem, is almost too good to be true. Or as I prefer to say, it's the story that's too good not to be true. Merry Christmas. And in the words of Tiny Tim, God bless us, everyone. Amen.